Amazing Race Southwest will not be heard at this time because the cost of luggage is too damn high. Instead, we bring you a truly flighty program.
This is Gordon Pepper, and it will truly be a flighty program. We have flights to races, flights to islands, flights in and out of game shows, and a very heartwarming story featuring someone that we all know very, very well. And you can make an argument that this person should be Game Show Player of the Year, and I would not argue it.
I am with you, too, on that, and we will talk about that. But I need to know, Gordon, are you in or are you out? Well, you know what? Save that answer for later. Because, Chico.
Because somewhere in America, the world's strongest game show podcast, We Love to Interrupt, is on. Let's go.
Whee!
Or should I say, ikimashou!
Whee!
Konnichiwa to the latest episode of the World's Strongest Game Show podcast here at 5-1. This is number 483. We are 17 to 500. We love to interrupt. I'm Jason. That's Chico. That's Gordon. And this is Johnny Gilbert.
From the Alex Rebeck stage at Sony Pictures Studios, this is Jeopardy.
Okay, we've got a lot of Jeopardy to talk about, including legit, the last week in competition, and tonight's celebrity show. But first,
I was going to do the Celebrity Jeopardy first, because this was the last quarterfinal game between Omar J. Dorsey, playing for the DeKalb School of the Arts Foundation, ESPN analyst Nina Kimes, very, 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 very big fan of hers, playing for the Salon Neighborhood Homeless Coalition, and Fortune Feast, is it Feimster or Feimster?
The Fortune Feimster from Belmont, North Carolina, originally. Fun fact, a friend of mine, a lady by the name of Megan, went to high school with her.
Playing for Mana Food Bank. At the end of Triple Jeopardy, we have a locked game where Mina has 19-4, Omar has 8-8, and Fortune has 7-1. And we go to the Final Jeopardy category, Historic Speeches. The clue: other than the words in its title, this three-word imperative is the most oft-repeated phrase in MLK's "I Have a Dream" speech.
Got it. The key word is imperative. So the correct response would be: You would think it is. What is free at last? But
that's what I thought.
Yeah, you would be wrong. The correct response is, what is let freedom ring? Again, the key word is imperative.
Okay. And Mina bet nothing. She moves on to the semifinals, which will be starting in 2 weeks. We're going to air April 2nd, 9th, and 16th. And again, according to the JeopardyFan.com, this was just a schedule break, and which also kind of leads toward a key, or close to it, anyway. But, Chico, we finished the JIT, and it was no contest, right?
It really wasn't a contest. As a reminder, Matamodio has one game to his credit against Roger Craig and Jabaria Zaheer. And going into the final, it is Matt with Jabaria with 16,000, Matt with 13,6, Roger with 9,4, and the Final Jeopardy category, British Royalty. Jay, you may guess this. We'll see. The clue: in the 12th century, after walking barefoot, this man stripped down and allowed himself to be flogged by dozens of monks.
I had no... Who is the headlining act on the on the West Side Highway in the 1980s movie Cruising? I don't know. Oh my god.
Now the correct response is, who is the guy who is naked and f***ing it in San Diego?
Right, exactly. Yeah, exactly. But who was it, really?
Okay.
Me. I know. Me. There's only one person who's really getting flogged right now. Who's the current premier of the UK who's currently being flogged and a whipping boy by Donald Trump?
That's the guy in Ireland, but same idea. The real answer is the murderer. He was doing penance for the murder of Thomas II, who was
Henry II, and Roger had it, crossed it out, and wrote Richard the First.
Yes.
Yep. So Matt wins the game, the match, and the 150,000, and the slot in Jeopardy Masters next this summer.
The Jeopardy Masters lineup is so far this: Matt Imodio, Yogesh Raut, James Holzhauer, Victoria Gross, Baelish, and a six to be named later.
Could be Jason Block.
No. Okay. But we might find that out. Later on in the show, because there's an event coming up, which we'll talk. Well, we can even talk about it here after we do a recap.
Yes, but let's go back to Friday, where Laura Fada is up against Roger Gammon, a TV editor from Studio City, and Omar Abu-Rail, an aerospace engineer from Annandale, Virginia. Laura is playing her eighth game, and going into the final, she has 9,200, Roger has 66, Omar has 800. Final chapter category, science fiction. The clue. What?
I got this one.
Name shared by a groundbreaking magazine launched in April 1926 and a TV anthology series that premiered in September 1985.
This kid was an 80s baby who was actually a fan of this. And Gordon, I hope you were a fan of this show too. What is Amazing Stories, produced by Steven Spielberg? Were you a fan of that show?
I absolutely was, and I absolutely knew that one. I'm not going to say ask me a hard one, because for certain people that could be a hard one, but I was a fan.
And no one got it, though, but Laura goes to $5,199.
Yes.
But then...
And then has a total of $92,599. And then Monday happens, where she plays Game 9 against Sabrina Blanks from Rock Hill, South Carolina, just south of Charlotte, and a friend of the site and a friend of ours, Harvey Seligovitz, an attorney and worldwide karaoke singer from West Orange, New Jersey.
Now, this Harvey, full disclosure, he's a friend to all of us. No joke. Yeah. Good friend of ours. And his story is well known within the Jeopardy and the trivia circle. He has been trying to get on this show for 24 years. And 5 years ago, he was diagnosed with Parkinson's. As you saw, he was sitting for the game display. And I was lucky enough to actually attend this particular game watch party in New York City. To me, this was, you know, I'm just go on. I have no words. It's just absolutely fantastic that this happened.
Yeah, and he is, okay, Harvey played this game, I guess we could call H-Bomb, that's the nickname that everybody calls him by. He played this game like a man who spent his entire life prepping for this moment. He ends up with a total of 36,800. Laura and Sabrina are nowhere close, as we go into a Final Jeopardy category, World Flags. And this was an easy one for a Monday. Here's the clue. A dark blue square in the upper left corner of the flag of this country represents the continent of Africa.
I knew this, and again, it's one of my particular favorite flags outside of, course, the American flag. It's the Liberian flag. Is Gordon, do you have anything on this or no?
No, I'm gonna go with Euro Grandville flag.
It was
close to Yugoslavia flag, but Euro Grandville flag.
Yeah, Sabrina got it right, but Harvey tried to get to 50,000, missed, but left with 23 hits. But then we get to Tuesday's game, and there's four friends of ours, right, I believe?
Well, Tuesday, we have H-Bomb fighting, and Emily Johnson from Savannah, and James Corson from Frederick, Maryland, which is right outside Washington, D.C., which the three of us know quite well. Going into the final. Oh, dear me. James has 29,000. Emily has 20,800. Harvey can still take this with 6,800 if Emily and James...
Well, but you know what?
No, he can't. The game's all... good for Harvey, but no, he can't win the game.
No, but you want to know something for real? I mean, he went up against two really good players, but here's the clue. And again, not that hard. The clue in Explorers, traveling in 1811 to an elevation of about 12,000 feet, Thomas Manning was the first Englishman to meet this figure. And I believe you are a practitioner of some of his teachings, right? Because you're a Buddhist, aren't you?
I am a Buddhist, and I did know this, that it was the Dalai Lama.
Correct. Everybody got it right. Harvey did the right thing and double up, but James wins with 42,000. Now, we go to tonight's show, and again, we'll talk about Harvey in a minute.
Yes. Okay, so not many times have we had one friend of the site, friend of ours, play on a given episode. Tonight we have two.
Okay.
All right, the first one is Kristen Van Florgen, a writer out of Brooklyn. And the second one, we've all had the pleasure of meeting, a veteran of University Challenge, believe it or not, a substitute teacher from Gambrills, Maryland, Brian Gavis.
Yes. And at the end of Double Jeopardy, James 18-8, Kristen 14, Brian had 6-6 because I believe he had a bad daily double goal. Yeah. Yeah. No, he had a
bad daily double under Revolutionary for 1200.
Yeah, exactly. So, but the clue is author's other works.
In an 1833 story by her, an alchemist's assistant drinks a potion giving a turtle life, but ends up seeing all he loves die.
Again, if you know, the key clue is her. She actually wrote another novel about some guy with a brain with Abby Normal on it. So, I'm going to pick it up. no, it's Mary Shelley from Frankenstein thing. Everybody gets it right, but James has...
Oh, I have the answer.
Oh, what's that?
Who is the head of the DEI? Get to watch everything die.
Yeah.
Yo, y'all can do this show. I can do this.
No. Trust me. Wait till that app, though. We got. Wait till that app, though. So James is going into tomorrow's show with 70,800. But let's go back to Harvey for a second. You know, it's very interesting. You know, because I actually read the social. You know, I was actually following the social during this and all this. I have rarely seen a contestant really get a unanimous positive thing to go with this, but Harvey did. It was an amazing thing to watch and read. You know?
Yeah.
You go on the show, just for getting on the show while you have Parkinson's is a win within itself. Forget whatever the hell you did after that. You have Parkinson's, right. You get on the show. And then you dominate, and you're close to continuing to dominate on the second show.
Right.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden, your challengers start to get a rhythm going.
Forget all that. Forget about what happens. The point is, just for being there and then doing what you do, you should definitely be in consideration of Player of the Year.
I agree. I agree. Because he only posted it like the day before, like a few days before. It's like, I did this. And I'm like, when I saw the picture, I was like, what? He finally made it? And we all know the journey. I'm not going to use the word struggle. The journey that he has gone through to get this call. And the fact that he is a Jeopardy champion, which no one can take away from him, one day or 20, you know, one day or 100 days, you're a Jeopardy champion. And like I said, I was lucky enough to actually go to the watch party. It was just an absolute pleasure to see it happen. It was great. And yes, he should be Player of the Year, without question.
He should, with absolutely no question. And H-Bomb, if you are listening, feel free to drop by any time, all right?
Come on in. We'd love to interview you again.
We would love to hear the story.
Yes, well, as a matter of fact, I actually asked him, and we have a date. So there you go.
Okay.
There you go.
So in other words, we have to work it out, but we'll record 20 questions on his schedule. So, yeah.
All right. Speaking of people with a date, three guesses who the team is who has a date with Jeff and the first two don't count.
So, Hula is yet again upset that they lost. Well, but Mary was more upset that people wrote her name down. And she's like, she knows where... You know, she knows where she's at in the totem pole of four. And boy, were they not happy, pretty much.
The next time that they go to the tribal council, she knows that her name is going to be on the chopping board.
Right.
Yeah, she's going to go bye-bye.
Yeah.
She's going to go bye. Well,
or will she?
Or will she? We'll find that out. So what happened was is that we had an immunity and a reward challenge. Gordon, you remember this one. It's the blind call challenge.
Yes.
One person is a caller. Everyone else is blindfolded. They have to get three keys to back to the calling station, and then the leader will go and get to a slide puzzle, and someone will call it, and the other two will blindly solve it. First two get reward. One is a massive tarp and two hammocks. One is another tarp and some comfort. The other go to tribal council. Right?
Right. Okay, so here's what's going on. David and Joe bruise themselves. By the way, Bula has picked Cedric, who is really hoarse right now. And all I can say is,
welcome to Dumb Decisions.
Yeah, exactly.
Foggy wins the challenge and gets to select three players that will leave for the latest journey away from camp.
By the way, are you surprised that Bula was last again? Oh, wait. No, I'm not.
Nope. Okay, so they picked Bianca from their own tribe, Justin from Bula, and Camilla from Siva. They have another game of chance where they have to roll seven dice until they reach a total of four flames or four skulls. Four flames means you give a vote.
You win an extra vote. Four skulls, you big such a... You lose your vote.
Only Camilla successfully gained an extra vote. Bianca and Justin rolled four skulls and lost their vote at the next tribal.
So at this point, now, just pay attention here. At tribal, there's only going to be two votes, which are Sai and Cedric. Okay? That's going to play into tribal. but move on.
Yes, that tribal, Jeff is confused by how they seem very chill with the fact that they are not committing as a tribe and acting as adversaries. Like,
right.
you guys are chill. Anyway, Mary decided to sacrifice her boat in order to play a shot in the Zerg, and Mary didn't need to play the idol because she chose Satan.
Mary didn't have one, though.
Well, she was looking for one, believe it or not, so...
Yeah, but she didn't have one.
There you go. She was looking for one, she doesn't have one, she doesn't need one, because she's safe!
Yes.
Okay, now...
So Mary knew that she was toast, but she's not. She got herself out of the toaster.
Yes.
So the first...
However, someone still has to go home.
Yes.
Right, but hold on. But the first vote, Mary, doesn't count, okay? So now...
There should have been three if Justin was asleep.
But Justin, didn't have a vote. So we go to a second vote, and you could only vote for... And you can vote not for Mary. Okay? So, Cy votes for Justin. Cedric votes for Cy. We have a tie. Justin... Oh, so this is what Jeff says. Let me see if I got this right, okay? Jeff says, look, usually what happens is when we get to this point, you know, when we get to a tie vote, one votes for the other, one votes for this, and we're done. And then we go, but here's what happens. Since Mary sacrificed her vote, she can't vote. Justin doesn't have a vote. So it's down to you two. Vote again. They split. Okay? Okay. So then Jeff says, okay, we're going to do this one more time. We know you can't vote for this. If you can't find somebody to vote out, Cedric, you are the only one who has power. If you can't change your vote to Justin, you're going home. And Cedric was like, all right, fine. Justin is out. So, yeah. It went to like three votes and there was a lot of confusion there, but Mary is in deep trouble. Mary would have gone home if Justin didn't lose her vote. It would have been 3-0.
Well, No. Mary would have gone home if she didn't do a correct shot in the dark call.
That's true. Right. That's right.
She did what she had to do in order to survive in the game. Up to and including...
She did, and now she's going to be praying for a merge or for somehow her group of three win something. Anything.
No, about that, actually.
Okay.
Because, gay, it's time for drop your buffs time.
It's time for the tribe swap. We go from three tribes to two, and we'll see the new villages of the tribe next week. So, oh, by the way, I wanted to talk about something in Jeopardy that I forgot to talk about before we get to the island. Okay.
Okay.
Jeopardy is doing a weekend in DC with another live podcast. April 10th to 12th in D.C.
More details as they become available, but check their socials for that.
Yes. Exactly. So it's going to be, April 10th to the 12th. And the Grand Marshal of the National Cherry Blossom Parade, and you can put this in your Media Pro report, is Ken Jennings himself.
Yep.
Woo-hoo. Okay, so let us go from Fiji to Japan, shall we?
Japanese likes of the Amazing Race are always entertaining, and this one was no exception. We take off on the Expedia sponsored leg of the season to Osaka, Japan, and our first stop is Sutenkaku Tower, where the team would have to take a taxi to Namba Hatch, and they are warned of an intersection. You remember what an intersection is, right?
Yes.
Yes, an intersection. Two teams have to team up for the next task, and the decision must be mutually agreed upon. So, the teams that teamed up were, in order of arrival, Ernest.
Hello.
And
Ernest
and Mark, Jonathan and Jack, Melissa and Mike, Jeff and Courtney, Erica and Holden, with their partner Han, got lost, and Bertie and Scott.
Now, this roadblock, Gordon, was right up your alley, okay? In the intersection roadblock, one member from each team had to perform a taiko drum routine alongside alongside a
and
drum
routine. And I know what those are.
Yes. After they completed the test, the teams were split.
Yes. I have the order of completion here. Jonathan and Jack were first. Melissa and Mike were second. Bertie and Scott were third. Jeff and Courtney were fourth. Erica and Holden were fifth. And Ernest and Mark, who tried 18 times, were last. And from there, we go to Dotonbori Bridge and this detour. Mochi or Mawashi? In Mochi, the team have to pound enough Mochi Gome, that is rice flour, to make 12 Mochi balls. If they make
I love Mochi.
I love Mochi too, especially when it's covered in ice cream. Yep. Especially when it covers ice cream and, you know, ice cream you can chew. That is delicious. I love matcha.
Yes.
I love matcha mochi.
Yes. Now, you said Asahi was the other one?
Awashi.
Awashi, isn't that the little belty thingy that these sumo wrestlers wear?
Yep, and you have to tie one on your person and your partner's person, and then get to the ring with a sumo and push them out in order to get your next clue. And the next
I would do that one. That's the one I would do.
You would do Mawashi? Well, the majority of the teams do Mawashi. They tie Supers Mawashi. And this guy, Jay and I were just talking about this, but like, oh my god, I can't believe they're about to, these skinny dudes are about to get into the ring with this fat guy. And now it's just, oh jeez.
Because all you really have to do is just use momentum. It shouldn't take you that long. Eventually, you're going to tie the sumo wrestler out. So I think that would be quicker than trying to make all the motion.
Yep. You have to count. Basically. But here's the thing. If you've seen Abawashi, you know it's this heavy sort of roll of canvas that goes around your waist and up inside your business. You have to get it all nice and tight and all proper and stuff. So there's that. So you complete that. You go to the pit stop at Tahoto Pagoda. Last team to check in will be eliminated. Okay. Jonathan and Anna are the first team to arrive, which means they win one key cash from Expedia, enough for a trip to Kilimanjaro, Tanzania.
Woohoo!
Han and Meanwhile, Han and Holden, who got lost twice, are still in it, coming in 11th. Bridget and Ernest, on the other hand, have enough 1p cash from Expedia for a trip back to the house. Ernest and Mark, they were the last two. Ernest was part of the team. That was the last to finish the intersection.
And then they get balloonated.
So this is like, do not sleep on any part of the race. Otherwise, it's going to come back to you. Actually, before we go to Deal or No Deal Island, Jay, were you not entertained by the sumo task?
I was incredible. Okay. It was so... Gordon, you see these skinny Americans and this sumo who's like 400 or 500 pounds as they're trying, because what happened was, we talked about this, to get the clue, they had to push the sumo guy out. And the sumo guy...
Yeah, I absolutely would have done that over the mochi.
Oh, I would have done that over the mochi, too. I was, you know, and it was just... I was crying. It was so good. But anyway, Chico, you have the island, and this is a little bit of a different take this week.
It's quite a different take. Nobody's going to see the banker today, but we do have a bit of a challenge here. Each player has on their person $75,000. That is $75,000 weighted to a quarter of their body weight above a fire pit. Joe is going to offer cases to eliminate, for a player to eliminate themselves. If more than one player takes the same case, they split the value. The last player standing wins a guaranteed $75,000, and the player with the highest case will go to the semifinals, which is next week. We start at $1.5 million. $1.75 million. $2.25 million. $2.75 million. $1.25 million. Yes, it's one of those things. Remember Steve Harvey's Thunderdome, where the values go up and down? Talk about fun. $2.5 million. Leet has decided to take $2.5 million, and she gets to add her weight to another player. She adds to David's rope. $3 million. Oh, we have two takers, Harmony and CK. Each of them has $1.5 billion. Harmony adds weight to Phillip's rope. CK adds weight to David's rope. David is not looking good right there. Okay, $1.5 million. How about $1.75? Right here, $2.25. How about $2.75? There we go. David has elected to take $2.75 and put $75,000 onto Philip rope. And $1.25, Philip. Okay, so Parvati and DK and Philip have the lowest three.
Because Parvati and CK split it, which means they have $1.5 million each.
Correct. But now comes the more important bit. As David now has a tough decision to make. Because he has the most money, he gets to choose which of the three is going home and which of the three is going to the temple. David, after talking with seemingly everybody left on the island, chooses Philip.
So, Philip,
he goes to the house.
He's gone. There was no temple.
There's no, well, there is a temple, but it'll be either Parvati or CK, a decision that we will not know until next week.
There we go. But as dopey. Sorry.
Yeah,
it's just
dopey. It was very dopey.
It's the editing. What can I say?
No, it's not the editing at all. It's a challenge.
¿Por qué no los dos? Anyway.
Anyway. Actually, I need some change. Now, this week was the villains roast, and Gordon, I'm gonna need your expertise here for a second, okay? So this is the villains roast, and because Jewel Sparkles won the last maxi challenge, she gets to get the performance order, of the eight queens left. And by the way, they're gonna read from three iconic villains. They are Mistress Isabel Brooks, Plain Jane, and Candy Muse. Okay?
Yeah.
Alright. So, and there was a ton of drama. Okay? So the order eventually is Anya Nerve, Arietti, Jules, Lana, Sam, Lydia, Susie, and Lex. Okay? Yeah. And, Arietti was not happy about the order because she felt that, Jules put herself after her because she felt Arietti would flop. Okay? But here's the thing.
She's not wrong, by the way.
She is not wrong. But Arietti, by the way, stole jokes from Jewel Sparkle's routine during the race.
That's worse than committing murder on stage. You don't ever steal nobody's jokes.
Well, right. But here's the thing, though. She was better off not stealing her jokes because they were both terrible, and she stole some really awful jokes.
Right.
If she doesn't steal some jokes, maybe she's out of the bottom too. That's how bad the jokes were. If you're gonna steal material, at least steal good material.
Right. And then, of course, Jules bombs after that, and Lydia B. Collins actually wins the whole damn thing.
By the way, the guest judge today, the host of Fast Friends herself, Whitney Cummings.
Yes. By the way, I love the joke that Lexi Love did, calling Susie to Jinx Monsoon for dummy. That was a great line. That's a freaking awesome line, by the way.
There's a lot of really good performances in that roast. I mean,
yeah.
the ladies this year do have a decent amount of comedy, and they've got some chops on them, which is good. But the one interesting thing, a couple of interesting things. Number one, Lana Jure finally does something good that gets her sort of kind of out of the bottom, even though not really. But the one person that makes out like a bandit here and that just really helps her case is Sam Starr.
I think Sam Starr is one of your finalists. I really do. He's got an incredible...
Who is the stud muffin who called that one, by the way?
That would be you, I believe.
That would be me. Yes, it would.
So the bottom two are Arietti and Jules singing Ya Ya by Beyonce from Cowboy Carter. And Arietti finally finally, our long drag race nightmare is over. She's gone.
Okay. I wouldn't go that far. She is very talented in a number of things, but she's not well-rounded. And the four women that are still my top four are the ones that are well-rounded. And despite winning the top as the Rose, it's not Lana Jure for me.
Who you got?
I have Sam Starr. And for me, she's a favorite, just like she is for Chico. Jewel Sparkle. On Your Nerve. And Leslie Love. Those are my top four.
All right. Now.
And of course, next week is, as a tribute, I believe this is another acting challenge. As a tribute to Truman Capote and his swans, the queens must act up a storm in a high camp of tale of betrayal. Cheyenne Jackson from American Horror Story is your director, and your guest judge is Mr. Unholy himself, Sam Smith.
Now, pretty cool. It is really cool. I love Sam Smith. I think he's
I believe this is where Lydia B. Collins and Lana Jure may wind up in deep trouble in this episode.
I agree.
We shall see. But in the meantime, we have a murder to solve.
Yes, we do.
Yep. If you remember last week, we went to the final vote on the traitors, and it was down to Danielle and Ivar Mountbatten, and Brittany's final vote turns out to be for, stop me if you've heard this one, Danielle. Nobody's going to stop me? Oh my God.
No.
Brittany was the cut. By the way, Alan Cumming, the ever-talented Alan Cumming, reveals that Brittany is the winner of the Seer Power, which she gets to see the last remaining traitor.
No, that's not true. She gets to pick somebody, and we'll see whether or not that person's a traitor.
Correct. She picks Gabby, and she sees that Gabby is one of the faithful. She tells the group as such. And now we go to our final mission, where the players must track a location and complete a simple little math equation to find a bunch of money bags. They deliver the cash to Alan, and there's up to $25,000 to be cleaned. But then Alan gives them a chance to double their money, only to have to do it dangling from underneath a helicopter. You have to toss your money bags into a ring of fire. If you do that, they double. And after that challenge, we have a total prize fund of $204,300. And if you do not get rid of all of the traitors, the faithful leave with nothing, and any traitor that remains gets a piece of it. So we go to our final round table. Brittany gets to work convincing the other women that Dylan is a traitor. Her evidence is that, and I'm getting this from TV Line, our friends at TV Line, Danielle's reaction to Dylan voting her out. So all the votes are revealed. Everybody sides with Dylan, and Brittany is eliminated. So we are going to the final fire of truth. Four players remain. And they all have one opportunity to banish each other or end the game. All four players vote to end the game.
So,
are there any traitors amongst the four players?
Well, let's do it this way. Dolores Catania, bell please. Faithful.
Dylan Efron. Faithful. Gabby Windy. Faithful. Ivor Mountbatten. Faithful.
I had to stretch it out, you see.
No, you really did not have to stretch it out.
Okay, fine. But they all split the Monet.
Yes. So that's about 50,000 ETH, give or take.
Right, and I believe, and then they will, around the summertime, we will get for season 4. The new cast members, because you know they're going to be filming soon.
Oh, yeah. I believe they renewed it for 2 seasons. The last
4 and 5, yes.
Yep. So that is going to happen over the summer. We will keep you apprised as to who is going to Scotland to film in that vaulted castle. But in the meantime, we are going to take a break, pay a few bills, and when we come back, it's all the news you didn't even know you needed to know, and then we make it fashion.
Yes.
With Gordon Pepper and Jason Block, my name is Chico Alexander, 6-8-5-1, you're home for We Love to Interrupt. You give us 22 minutes.
And we'll teach Chico how not to draw things out on a recap show where most people have already seen the results.
You?
Like here, Chico, this is a squirrel.
No fun.
We'll be back right after this.
Hi there, I'm Robin Mead. You are not alone if you're feeling like there's so much uncertainty to face right now. And while you're told to stay physically distant from people, it is more important than ever to stay close at heart by reaching out, sending a text, picking up the phone. You can also reach out to NAMI, the nation's largest grassroots mental health organization, because with all that's going on, it's more important than ever to care for each other.
Vision News has been sponsored by 100 versus 1 sumo wrestling. We go to Japan with 100 skinny 100-pound weaklings trying to push one distracted and uninterested sumo wrestler out of the sumo ring. Will it ever happen? Don't think so. Ken Kenichiho. I don't know.
Bro. Should be the ghost of Chen Kenichi. Dead for a year.
I was thinking of Chairman Kaga. That's the guy who I was thinking.
Chairman Kaga been dead. He ate Fugu that one time.
Oh, wow. So, well, one of them. How about Morimoto? He's still around. I think he is.
Yeah, he's still around.
Okay, we'll use him. But seriously, did you see the look on the sumo wrestler's face? Anyway.
I'm going to wait for you to get it all out of your system.
I'm good to go. Gordon, if you would, please.
Roll that beautiful brain footage.
From the four corners of the globe to your frontal lobe, this is WLTI Brain Vision News with Chico Alexander, Gordon Pepper, and the award-winning Brain Vision News team.
Thank you very much, Doug Morris. As always, follow Doug Morris on all social media at Doug Morris Games at Rock 104, iTracks, and iTracks Productions. And don't forget to listen to Doug Morris every Sunday as he hosts Rock 104's Rock Tracks with Doug Morris from high atop his palatial estate in the Pine Belt That's Rock 104's Rock Tracks on Rock 104 WXRR Hattiesburg 104.5 on your FM dial. And of course, all over the know.
Multiverse.
On Rock104FM.com, the Odyssey app, and the Rock 104 app.
Oh, do we have some business to get to?
All of the bidding.
Yeah, okay. All right. Let's do it.
Yes, business.
Go for it.
All right. Let's start with a bit of an amuse-bouche. Y'all know Monopoly. Y'all remember Monopoly. Well, apparently there is a bidding war for the rights to produce a reality show based on Monopoly. The project, which comes from Hasbro Entertainment, has been heating up for recent weeks. The series is looking to bring the legendary game to the real world in a large-scale social experiment contest. Strategies, alliances, and cutthroat competition will collide as contestants battle for fortune and navigate the fine line between capitalism and chaos. The object, as always, to own it all by any means necessary.
That's going to be so bad. That's going to be horrible.
Yeah.
It's really going to depend on the execution, so I don't have enough to really comment.
Yeah.
I agree. But this one is going to get ugly really quickly.
So. It's been ugly. This is foogly, okay? Foogly.
Foogly. All right, on Monday, that is this past Monday, Delaware Chancellor Kathleen McCormick requested additional information from New York City's public pension funds, which filed a lawsuit last month to block the deal that will merge Paramount Global with Skydance Media, signaling she may be considering a temporary halt to its closure, a move that could invite rival offers and append the agreement, according to a report from the New York Post. Now, the pension fund, representing city firefighters, police officers, and teachers, alleged that Skydance's merger unfairly prioritizes media heiress Sherry Redstone's controlling stake in Paramount, paying her a premium while sidelining common shareholders without a vote. Claim a rival bid from Project Rise Partners, an investment consortium led by Daphne Zeman, offers $800 million more than Skydance's deal, but was ignored due to the merger's exclusive terms. Zeman says, "Our original offer had a letter from Northern Trust verifying the financials." She adds that Paramount Special Committee refused to meet with her group, and Project Rise Partners has filed details of its financing under seal with the court, though Zeman has not publicly disclosed her backers. The chancellor's request for more information has fueled speculation that she is open to pausing the deal, which Paramount hoped would proceed without delay. This is the same judge that famously struck down Elon Musk's $56 billion Tesla pay package, and has not set a date for a new hearing, leaving the stakeholders in limbo. Guys, what does this all mean?
Gordon, what do you think?
As you said, this is getting fugly in a hurry. Even though it was ugly, now it's really ugly. In terms of that, I don't think they're wrong. Again, I don't know enough information to really be like, well, they're right, they're wrong. But, you know, clearly there is definitely machinations on this. People are pulling the strings. This is getting almost just as ugly and maybe even uglier than what's going on between Sony and CBS.
Yeah, it's about that level, really. Because according to Variety, and maybe I'm repeating myself, I apologize if I am, they submit the Project Rise had an offer of $13.5 billion, and which Paramount said that it was superior to the $8 billion bid. However, there's a lot of machinations, which I'm talking about maximum values and how much it is, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it's a lot of machinations. So there's that. Let's move on to the date book kind of quickly. Thursday is the season premiere of Love is Blind Sweden on Netflix, and the season premiere of one of our all-time favorite shows, which we will be starting our recaps next week, Top Chef. Sunday is the arcade show's 1,000th episode, and on the $100,000 pyramid is Tiffany Haddish, Michael Urie, Chandra Wilson, and Rob Riggle. And Tuesday is called Tough Guys on Premiere. But let's talk about that app, though. And boy, is this one a big one.
It's a big one, and it's somewhat overdue. If you happen to be a fan of The Apprentice, that is The Apprentice, the NBC reality show, not The Apprentice, the movie that came out last year, you will be pleased to know that seasons 1 through 7 are now available for stream or download on Prime Video. Smart move, don't you think?
No.
I think that's incredible.
I don't.
I have one yes and one no. Gordon, you first.
Well, I think it's smart. I think I know where Jason's going with this. But there's going to be this gross fascination with Donald Trump long before being the president and seeing all this other stuff. Whether you think it's tasteful or tasteless, that's not the point. The point is to put eyeballs and get ratings, and this will do both. Damn the morality.
I agree with you. I'm with you. I get it, and I understand. I'm just not 100% sure the timing was right here. But, I mean, I get it.
I think the timing couldn't be better on this.
Okay.
I, for one, thought it could have been better if it was 4 years ago, when there could be money made that goes directly to his coffers without any inhibition there, too.
You mean when he was not president of the United States?
Correct.
Okay.
I understand, but you would not have gotten the eyeballs, because if you remember 4 years ago, he's not exactly as loved of a person as he is now, though, again, that is very debatable depending on who you ask.
Yes. And also, the fact is right now, I mean, look, the guy who played Donald Trump in the movie The Apprentice got an Oscar nomination, the very talented actor Sebastian Stan. I agree with you that the timing is a little suspect. You're correct. It should have been done in 2020. But I think, you know, everyone's saying, oh, now Bezos is now bowing down to Trump or whatever. No, look, when Trump was the host of The Apprentice, right? And I thought at the time, I thought his presidential aspirations were a negotiated tactic. We talked about that in 2016, almost a decade ago. You know, or even further around a decade ago. Even more than that. But now, it is sort of a curious fascination, is the best way you could put it, right? I mean,
you and I were there at one of those celebrity apprentices challenges when we bought the world's most expensive cupcake.
Yes, exactly. But we were, and again, that was a lot of fun because it was a celebrity one and it was for charity, et cetera, et cetera. But I think a lot of people are not going to be as, shall we say, open-minded as us and see that this is a historical record of what he did before he was president. And I would, you know, I think people will hate watch too. Not just love watch, hate watch.
I agree, but again, one of the reasons why
one of the reasons why you do it. You know, it doesn't matter whether they're there to love, they're there to hate, or they're there to see a morbid train wreck. They're there, and all the ratings count the same.
Well, it's the same way, and then we'll move on from this.
Meanwhile, Chico's got something very dumb.
Yeah. Welcome to Dumb Decisions.
That's dumb.
You're so dumb. You are really dumb. For real.
So, are you smarter than Deanna Pappas? Because what she did was she done got herself arrested. Because she was arrested, according to E! Entertainment News, after an altercation with her ex-husband, Steven Stagliano, on February 27th. She was released on $20,000 bond. They have been divorced. They were divorced June 2024. They have two kids together. According to court documents filed by the mother of the ex, Lynn Stagliano, that she's, quote, and again, allegedly, A-L-L-E-G-E-D-L-Y, ding, okay, very clearly smelled alcohol on Deanne's breath. And then she filed a domestic violence restraining order against Steven, alleging multiple cases of verbal and physical assault, and it just got uglier than that. Not good. You know?
Mm.
So, yeah. But you know what? I'm thirsty. Let's get some Haterade out here.
Haterade! You know, Chico, sometimes the material writes itself. This happens to be one of those times. Because, Jay, I'm not sure if you knew this or not, but there is a, shall we say, famous actor in the mind's eye right now because of a beef that this person may have had with another person. And, Chico, explain why this is so ironic at this specific point.
Okay, Justin Baldoni right now is in beef with Blake Lively. And it just so happens that Justin Baldoni was on an episode of Celebrity Beef in 2022 as hosted by Joel McHale.
Ryan, I'm trying to find out who he played against.
That would be...
Oh, Justin Baldoni and Andy Grammer. That was the episode, the fourth episode, August 23rd, 2022. Thank you, IMDb, for that.
Yeah, and it all dates back to back in January, where Blake Lively accused It Ends With Us co-star and director Justin Baldoni of sexual harassment and retaliation in a civil rights complaint, alleging that he and his team designed a, quote, plan to, quote, destroy her reputation. And once again...
The password.
Oh, alleged.
Right, and of course, Baldoni alleged back that Ryan Reynolds, Taylor Swift, and Blake Lively created the character Nicepool in Deadpool versus Wolverine as a satire of him. And. It could be, if you saw the movie. It could be.
What the hell does Taylor Swift have to do with this, though?
Because Taylor Swift allegedly was in the room because she and Blake Lively are friends.
There you go. Okay.
So, yeah. So where are we sending all this beef and Deanna and all that stuff? Where are we going?
The home of where you can get... Where you can get a decent lutefisk. All right, so we have the easy one. Love is Blind Sweden. Season premiere is tomorrow as we record this. What you don't know is that we also have a revival coming to Sweden after 11 years. And that would be the revival of Deal or No Deal, which is set to air this spring on TV4 in partnership with the Postcode Lottery. Hosted by Rickard Schoberg, the show will air primetime on Fridays and Saturdays. In this version, players will face 20 sealed bags containing a different cash amount, and they'll have to accept the offer from the banker or hold out for the chance to win up to 1 million kroner.
Which is about 76,500 pounds in the article, or about, hold on, about 100 grand U.S.
So it truly is all about the game, which, by the way, has to be known, it's a pretty good game. It's like the bags are the sideshow. The real game is mental.
So, yeah. So maybe we'll get some Swedish media pros.
I got pros in different area codes. Area codes, pros, in different area codes.
In this week's media pro report, we start with Alex Cooper from the Call Her Daddy podcast, producing a new show for Hulu. We have the 24 chefs who have been tapped to play in season 2 of 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. They are, in alphabetical order, Ilya Abumrad, Brittany Anderson, Dave Bertaccini, Samantha Cruz, Leslie Daniel, Richie Farina, Alon Hall, Stephanie Izard, Kevin Lee, Arturo Leight, Lawrence Louis, Star May, Kelsey Murphy, Mark Murphy, Edie Wynn, Kathleen O'Brien, Damaris Phillips, Michael Rizzuz, Michelle Ragusas, Zuri Resendiz, Jonathan Sawyer, Ashley Shanti, Lawrence L.T. Smith, Brian Voltaggio, and Dara Yu. Steve Harvey signs up with AI Protection Platform, which means if you see him on social media hawking something, chances are it's a trick. Vanna White gets her first tattoo by her daughter.
That was a kind of cool segment. I watched that. That was fun.
We lost Simon Fisher-Becker from Doctor Who and Harry Potter. He was in an episode of Harry Potter Tournament of Houses. We also lost Monta Mino, the host of the Japanese version of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. Oh. Gabby Whitney sides with UTA. The winner of Beast Games finally speaks out about the pound of flesh Uncle Sam is going to want while Kevin Hart loves him. Guy Ganser from The Golden Bachelorette appears on General Hospital. Kendall Long welcomes her first child. Hunter Fieri details his wedding plans. Drew Goins has people sliding into his DMs. And Sarah Davies is leaving Dragon's Den to host that new project we talked about last week on the show. But none of them are your pros of the week, and they both begin with H. Obviously, H-Bomb is one. We talked about him. He's amazing. Second one is Holly Willoughby from Celebrity Bear Hunt.
Oh?
Yes, she's stepping away from her day job of hosting You Bet on ITV, and sources state that she is going to be the host of a reboot of Blind Date, which is the UK version of Our Dating. You remember that?
You mean the show Blind, the one with Roger, what's his face?
No, No, the blind date in the UK is the UK's version of the dating.
Oh, okay. Cool. All right.
It was hosted by the late, great Cilla Black.
Ah, okay. Very cool.
Yeah, but yeah, she is stepping away from You Bet, leaving Stephen Fulhern to host solo. And right now, season two is getting ready to be produced.
And those are your pros.
And that is Brain Vision. Jason, if you would, please.
Right about here.
All right, what do we have next, gents?
We need to know if you're in or you're out. You will find out what we mean by that right after this here at 5 and 1. This is We Love to Interrupt. We'll be back shortly.
Let's go. WLTI is presented by Eat Wasabi, the home game. Yes, it's the...
I remember this! Yes!
Oh, I done broke Jason Block again. Yes, it's Eat Wasabi, the home game, where you can have all the fun of the Amazing Race cast from way back when in your own home. Who will take home all of the money and who will have to... Everybody, eat wasabi!
So, as much as Chica wants to eat wasabi, I would rather much focusing on, are you in or are you out? Okay, so I'm going to mention someone, and you're going to tell me if they are in or they're out the phase that we were talking about. For argument's sake, if we went to RuPaul's Drag Race and I said, Susie 2, top 4. Drag Race, do you think she is in or out, Chico?
I would say she is in because someone from the bottom has to make the top 4. Because right now there's like 3 people on top and everybody else is fighting for that 4th spot in the top 4.
No, I'm going to say in because I have Sam Star, Anya Nerve, Jewel Sparkles, and Susie too. I don't have Lana Jarrett, Lexi Love, or Lydia B. Collins. I just don't. So yes, I'm in.
I'm also in.
I'm gonna say out because the biggest issue that I have with Susie too is that she's one dimensional. I think that will come back to haunt her. She is good in anything that is acting. I think she'll be fine this week. But she's not good if it's not acting or Broadway or fashion. And RuPaul, I'm pretty sure, will have some stuff in those categories that she's not comfortable with. Next one, Chico.
Next one. We haven't talked about Nepo babies on this show yet, have we?
We have not.
Well, we have the Nepo Baby of the Year on American Idol this past week in the season premiere. Because you remember, they range in ability from Jordan Sparks, who won the whole thing, to Claudia
Nepo Baby.
To Philip Sparks, the NFL player.
Okay.
So we have, on the top, you have Jordan Sparks. And on the bottom, you have Claudia Conway, who have memory serves did not get out of Hollywood Week.
Okay.
So, this year's Nepo Baby is Bailey Luttrell, The Final Judgment, in or out?
Simple, out. Most Nepo Babies do not do well on the show. Jordan Sparks is the exception to the rule, out.
Jordan?
Repeat that one more time, Chico.
Bailey Luttrell, who is the daughter of Brian Luttrell of the Backstreet Boys. Final judgment, in or out?
That is really quite a good question. I will say in for right now, but I will turn it on a minute's notice if there happens to be some shenanigans that are being affected by this.
What about you?
Oh, God. It is a really tough decision because, again, Bailey Luttrell was good enough to get a pass to Hollywood Week, but is she good enough to stay there? She's going to have to turn it up a bit. I will turn on her as soon as she shows some weakness, but right now I'm with Gordon. And
okay, I have one for you.
All right.
Let's talk about Jeopardy for a second here. We have five of the six members of the Jeopardy Masters team. The sixth one is going to be someone who has never been on Jeopardy Masters before. Is that in or out?
Never been up against the Jeopardy Masters before.
Has not appeared in the two tournaments before. That includes, I believe that's Amy Schneider, Sam, who is retired, right?
He's the host of Inside Jeopardy, if I'm not mistaken.
Right. Let's look at the list here. Okay.
Okay.
Because I want to do this right here. Okay.
Okay.
Oh, excuse me. So season one was Holzhauer, Roach, Amodi. So it's Roach, Holzhauer. Well, no, Holzhauer's going to play. No, wait. Yeah, Holzhauer's going to play. Roach, Key, Schneider, and Buttrick. Season two was Grosch, Rout, Holzhauer, Schneider, Roach, and Amodi. So we have Grosch, Rout, Holzhauer, Vinciamori, Amodio. So we have Matteo Roach, Amy Schneider, and Andrew Hee so far. Those are the only three. It's going to be different than the other three, in or out.
I'm going to go with out. I mean, You look at the talent, and it is really stacked. I mean, God help the person who is chosen to fill that sixth spot.
So you're saying there's going to be, so it's going to be somebody of those three? Is that what you're saying, or not?
Not.
Okay, so that means you are out.
Yes.
Okay, not in, out.
That's what I said.
Okay, all right. Gordon?
I'm going to agree with Chico. Which concerns me immensely.
Okay. And I agree with you, too. I think they're going to try and get fresh blood. Who do you think they're going to pick?
I don't know. That's what makes this interesting and scary at the same time.
Because they've got about 100 people. They've got about maybe 50 to 100 people to fill that one spot.
No, that's the beauty of it. Like, okay. Who do we have to fill this spot? Well, we have a whole lot of people. They all have really good Jeopardy resumes. So, okay, you better put the coffee on. This is going to take a while.
Yeah, it's going to take a while. All right, Gordon, you want to reverse it back to you want to take the last one, or do you want to?
Give this one to Chico. I'll take the last one.
All right, Chico, go for it.
All right, next one. Okay, so Parvati is in the bottom two as we head into the semifinals next week of Deal or No Deal Island. So I'll be the one to ask the question. Parvati Shallow, the finals of Deal or No Deal Island, in or out?
He's going to suffer the same fate as Rob, out.
Yeah, I think if there's a game plan going, now is a wrong time to try to reveal it, out.
I agree, and the editing is not helping her.
No, and I've got to. Okay, try this. We're going to Canada for Top Chef. Top Chef is releasing their Destination Canada series this week. Okay? In or out, a Canadian chef wins.
End.
Wow. Okay. There ain't many of them.
Well,
there ain't many.
Right now there's
four,
one,
I believe.
Two. Okay. We have Ying from Whistler, BC. Samuel from Vancouver. Massimo from Montreal. And that's it, I believe.
Yeah, so 3 out of 15. So you got about a 20% chance of winning. You think that you're going to win that?
I think so.
All right. Gordon?
All right, last one.
We need your opinion.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm going to go out.
So you think there are too many non-Canadian chefs to win?
Yes. I'm going to go against the grain a little bit here, pun completely intended.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I think it's just too much, but it would be nice to see. But that will premiere tomorrow on Bravo. Last one.
All right, I'll take the last one. And this is a little bit of an interesting read because I'm doing something a little teeny bit differently.
Okay.
So let's talk. I know we're not going to – two things I'm not going to do. We're not going to talk about Chico's favorite show, and I'm not going to do any Trumpisms because low-hanging fruit.
Okay.
So, but we've sort of noticed in terms of budgets and cuts to different departments, when is it going to happen to the television industry, number one? And number two, here's the in or out part. Let's just say 10 syndicated game shows at this point in the fall of 2025.
Okay.
Out.
Okay, so let's count them, Chico. All right?
All right.
Wheel, bell me, please. Wheel, Jeopardy. Okay, Family Feud. 25 words or less, I believe, right?
Correct.
That's four. Flip Side. Funny You Should Ask. The Perfect Line, I believe, is another one. That's seven.
Scramble Up, I believe, the next one.
That's eight, right? So two more? Is that what? So there are eight syndicated game shows right now, right? That are producing new episodes.
Yes.
Is that right? Okay.
Right.
Ten. I would love to say in, but I'm going to say out because I only see one more coming in. I think nine. That's all I'm saying.
I am going to agree with Jason. We are at a point where syndicators would like to get these games onto market, but I don't believe station groups are willing to take the chances on those games. They're willing to replace those with cheap local fare or easy to barter fare or whatever it takes to save money, let's say.
And it's for that reason that I'm going to say in. Game shows are still very much a cheap staple. So I can see things continuing the way that they are.
I mean, we're going to see more game shows. I'm wanting to see if we're going to get a revival of the bigger game shows. I don't think we are, though.
I don't think
so. You know? Okay.
Yeah, I agree. If you're serious about reviving a classic, you need to look to what GSN is doing with Tic-Tac-Doe, and I think it's pretty genius. They're putting it in April. I want to say they're going to group that with the season 1B of Beat the Bridge, which is also starting in April. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
There you go, indeed.
But you know what? We're all out of question, you know, all out of situations. But you know what we're in for? A speed round. And we're going to have that right after this in our final act of the night or the day or whenever you're listening to this here on We Love to Interrupt. This is a 5-in-1 production. We'll be right back.
Perfect.
Bane Vision has been brought to you by the Price is Right Tariff Edition. You know all those prices that you thought you were going to get in Contestants Row? You better add 25%, 50%. Who knows? Your showcase is going to be electricity. No, not 5 watts worth of electricity, just plain old electricity, especially if you live in upstate New York. That is the Price is Right Tariff Edition. Yikes.
Yeah. Yikes.
But we need to start a speed round, and let's do that now. Survivor, with the tribe switch, we don't know who's in trouble, do we?
No, we don't, but Mary is keeping her eyes open for an alliance that she can sneak into, or an idol she can make use of.
Yeah, and Mary is smart. She's got to see this is coming.
And believe me, Mary's going to take opportunity to do this. So RuPaul's Drag Race, who's going home?
Well, the next game is a, I don't know if it's a fashion challenge or
an acting challenge.
Oh, boy. Jewel Sparkles looks to be the target here.
No, I think it might be Liddy B. Collins myself.
No, I'm going to go with Collins. Jewel Sparkles should be just fine.
Collins, okay. Who gets out of Japan and who stays there on the Amazing Race?
If Han and Holden don't find a way to follow directions, they're going to be out. They got very lucky today.
Oh, I have one question for you. Now, Gordon, I got to ask this. So we're 2 weeks into the quote-unquote season of surprise, right? So, you know, is it just me, or does it feel like these things are too gimmicky for their own good? You know what I'm saying?
I don't think they're too gimmicky. I just don't think they have the right thing in there yet.
Is there something?
I don't think too gimmicky is the issue.
Because they're saying the Express Pass is going to come back next week.
Express Pass is good again, depending on how they use it. And again, I don't have an issue with the stuff that they do. They just need to make it work better.
Okay, that's fine. I mean, as you said, even bad Amazing Race is good Amazing Race. So there's that.
Yes.
I'm just thinking of anything. I don't think we have anything else. Do we have any mail?
No. But if you want to send us some, our address is WLTI@GameShowNewsNet.com. You can follow us on all social media at Game Show News Net. I am at Dino R. Alexander.
I am at Beat the Block, the number 2.
And I am GSNN Haterade.
And the network is at 5N1Net. That is the number 5ANDONENET, where we have everything going on.
We're going back to football.
Yeah, we are going. We were supposed to go back next month, but this is... Absolutely nothing's been going on with the free agent market. Absolutely nothing.
You mean like Josh Allen got paid? Everybody's
Josh Allen paid. The Denver Broncos are absolutely killing it in the free agent market. And
the Eagles have lost like half their team already. So have the 49ers. But, you know, we'll talk about that on the free agent edition of the BS next week with the RN and myself and you.
Yeah, it is the episode. Is the first episode of season 17 on the BS.
Because the official 25-26 NFL year started yesterday.
Yeah, huh?
So, Gordon, what's happening on the UBA? What's going on there?
UBA right now, that is the end of Mega Bowl, which means usually the start of the second half. So here we go. Now we're going to figure out who's going to make it to Mega Bowl. Second half of the season starts. Playoffs await the top 8 teams.
And, of course, UBDAtoday.info for all your Underground Bowling Association needs.
Of course.
Over on the NAWC, oh, boy, has this been a strong week. New York showed the poop out this week. We had an amazing steel cage match at the end of Raw, and the NXT top-to-bottom roadblock was absolutely spectacular. We'll talk about all that and the road to WrestleMania and lots of good stuff going on. And the fact that Netflix, by the way, Gordon, you may not know this, but for the first time in Raw history, Netflix is broadcasting Raw live from Brussels at 3 p.m. Eastern time. You couldn't do that on USA.
No, you would not.
But now you can do it here. So there's that, because WWE is on their European tour before WrestleMania. It was a thing, Chico, because your new episode dropped, didn't it?
Yes, it's Lost in Translation Week. We have Amanda's by the Sea, which tried to recreate Fawlty Towers in the U.S. That didn't work. And then we just have
the wasn't that the one with John Larroquette?
No, this is the one with B. Arthur.
Oh, God. Okay.
Yeah. That, I think we may be saving that particular show, the one you're thinking of, for next year. But who knows? And the second one, which just dropped, is the American version of a show that has been on Japanese television for 15 years. It was on our screens for 2 weeks. And that was, and you probably remember this, Jay, All American Ultra Quiz.
Dear God, that was terrible. Was that the one with Rowan and Martin who tried to host that thing?
Yes.
Wow. I'm old. Wow.
Yeah.
Bring you back for a moment while Jay's going to get his Viagra.
No comment.
So both of those episodes, we done broke Jason Block this week. Both of those episodes and our Before the Show, which features the John Cena heel turn and the Cheers box set from Rittenhouse. All right, it was a thing on TV.com. Oh, my God. This is so awkward.
Yes, indeed. So what's happening next week? Next week, oh, my God, we've got a lot of stuff. Let's see. Top Chef, Survivor, Amazing Race, RuPaul's Drag Race, more Jeopardy, more Celebrity Jeopardy.
No more Celebrity Jeopardy. They're on break until sweep.
Yeah, but regular Jeopardy then.
Yes, regular Jeopardy. So we have all of those and all the news that happened in the next 7 days. All for you, because we do it for you and we do it because of you. For everybody at 5-1, including my friend Gordon Pepper and my other friend Jason Block, my name is Chico Alexander. Our time is up. We thank you for yours. Game over. And spread the love. Yeah.
this program.